The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, we give our thoughts on the Man of Steel trailer, plus Iron Man 3. Is it worth spending 17 bucks to see? Also, Zach has an unfortunate accident with his face. I'm Sean Holmes, and you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because you're boldly going nowhere.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
Justin was really hoping to name an episode with that.
Fire trucks are blameless holy creatures?
Would you call this episode that?
Fire trucks are blameless holy creatures.
Okay.
Apparently.
That's the title to an acid dream. Right?
Sounds like a Beatles song.
Well, the thing is,
it could be a title to an acid dream. Sorry.
The way Mark brought it up, he was just like,
holy creatures.
Yeah.
I brought up to the cops came, and I talked to the police, because I do that, and I go up.
Well, that's the funny thing.
I go talk to him, and he's like, is there enough room for cars? I can't park a fire truck here, because the cars are so tight, you can't park a fire truck here.
And I was like, there's no really fire hazard. I mean, we're not blocking the fire hydrant.
There's no hydrant.
There's no hydrant, really.
Anyway.
It's like, I'm pretty sure there was still room for two cars to pass each other. I don't think that's enough room for... The way he phrased it, he made it sound like there's a fire truck sitting down at the bottom of the hill waiting with the sirens going,
blocking.
Waiting for us to move.
Which wasn't the case.
Well, I don't know if it's as bad as... I can actually bring this up on the show, but I got yelled at by a police officer who was going to write me a ticket for blocking a fire hydrant, and I came around to the side of the car, and I went, "Officer, that's a mailbox." And it's 8 o'clock at night, so... that ticket. And he just looked at me and was like, and just walked away sulking.
All right, there's nothing to see here. Move along.
Horrible. I was just like, and I was just so close to just, fuck you.
You know, that honestly reminds me of a joke. It's a guy gets pulled over by, it's either a guy or, it's a lady gets pulled over by a cop. And state trooper walks up and she's like, "Oh no, you're not here to sell me tickets to the policeman's ball, are you?" And then the cop just stares at her for a second. It's like, "Policemen don't have balls."
I remember that, and then just walk of shame.
That's the title.
And then just turns around and walks away.
All right, found my title already.
Policemen don't have balls.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Please don't.
No.
That's probably a really bad idea.
Yeah.
No, fire trucks are...
blameless holy creatures.
Fire trucks are blameless holy creatures, I think, would be a far better title for this episode.
All right.
Anyway, this week on Boldly Going Nowhere...
This week on Boldly Going Nowhere!
So, yeah!
So, we're back after a... couple week hiatus, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
About
three week hiatus.
So,
We have some birthdays to celebrate.
Yeah. Sean's birthday.
Hey. I'm 27.
Yeah.
Fuck, we're old.
Are we recording?
Oh, yes, I'm not old yet.
We've been recording for...
I'll worry about when I'm old.
Hey, welcome back, Brian.
It's the secret record. I mean, I'm going to do it every time.
I look forward to a Boldly Going Nowhere in which someone does not say, "Are we recording?" at the very beginning.
Oh, my God.
We'll reach it one day.
Colin,
I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Yes.
Are we recording?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, we are.
The red light is steady.
Damn it.
So we are recording. Mm.
Damn. So, Sean turned 27. We had a pretty epic party for that.
That was awesome.
That was nice.
We just finished all the booze.
I know. It took some hard work. Mm-hmm. It was some hard work and some dedication.
We
finished the booze in the household.
No such thing as hard work and drinking. I'm sorry. No such
thing.
It
was hard. Dude, there was a lot of beer here. It was a hard work.
Man up and chug that shit down. Turn your penis into a catheter. Just let it roll.
That's not how you test pH.
Right. Doctor, there's something very wrong with me right now.
All right, anyway.
Of course, you asked me to bring Rock Band over, and I was happy to do so. And for those of you driving around in the Frederick area the past week, you probably know that too, because I have yet to take the drums out of my car. They are such a pain in the ass to carry up four flights of stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A
little bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
I'm not saying that I haven't done it before. I have done it. It's a pain in the ass.
So, Zach,
Hermione didn't do the Patronus thing to your nose yet because it's still slightly damaged.
Oculus repair.
That's Oculus repair.
My glasses are not fucked up. It's my nose, and you brought it up, you ass.
I'm sorry. I noticed things. I bring them up.
I fought the law, i.e. Isaac Newton's law of gravity, and the law won. Very hard.
Can we get into the specifics of that?
Okay, look. And I wish I could say I was drunk. I wish I could say it was dark outside, but it was broad daylight, and I was sober as a bird.
Wow, birds are really sober.
In the process of trying to remove a metal pole from the ground, after multiple people had failed to do so, it was kind of an Excalibur moment. I was like, oh, I got this. And apparently the only thing they did wrong was they weren't standing directly over it, because I stood directly over the metal pole, pulled with all my might, and it immediately flew out of the ground and bashed me in the face. My glasses flew off. I have a giant gash on the tip of my nose. It bled for probably 6 hours, and we were thinking of getting a stitch. Didn't need a stitch. My nose is not broken, but it is in some way damaged. That was the consensus. So I don't know how to repair it, because all I got was damaged.
So wait, are you telling us that you're the chosen one?
How so?
You are the rightful king of England.
Okay, what's his name didn't stab himself with the sword after it came out of the rock? So I'm going to assume that it was a fluke.
That would actually would have made a
more... You did not see it. That was
fascinating. Someone's pulled the sword from the...
Put it back.
I
just realized, did Arthur actually pull the sword from the stone, or did the Lady of the Lake give him the sword?
Or depends on which story you're reading.
Are those different swords?
In this regard, I wish the Lady of the Bay had given me the pole. That would have made my life a little easier.
I love how it just started as an awkward
and then
it just
turned into the THX madness.
The awkward archipelago.
No. Part of me wanted to say phrasing, but I don't know. I just
wish the Lady of the Lake had given this Lady of the Bay had just given me the pole.
You might want to rephrase that.
It's called double entendre for a reason. Pole. It's comedy.
May this Philistine be a comedic tool when all other comedic tools run out.
Comedic tool.
All I know is my nose hurts.
I bet.
Very much so.
Getting a pipe to the face usually does that.
And we won't invite you to the Coke party.
It's always something. Man. Do you have any idea how much I invested in that? I already had my stained shirt ready.
You don't uninvite me to nothing.
All right, anyway. So, let's see. Justin's brother, Adam, graduated from Frostburg State.
Yes, Adam.
Went to that party.
Go Bobcats!
Yes.
I think that's what their sports team is called.
Go sports team.
Of course, I graduated from Frostburg myself, and I did not attend a single damn sports event ever.
Woo! Sports! Go team!
Yay, local sports team.
The silence is deafening on
that
one.
Yes, I know, right?
And I'm getting my master's from Hood pretty soon, and I'm pretty sure... Feminism. They're called the Blazers, which
goes against everything they stand for. There's a
drug use joke in there somewhere. I'm just not the right kind of messenger for that sort of thing, though.
Do women wear blazers?
At that school, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Also, it hasn't. It's been co-ed for like 40 years.
Yeah.
They're called Blazers.
4 years or 40?
40.
40. 40.
I still remember when my father still thought they were a girls' college and said that to my stepmother, unaware that my stepmother's nephew was going there at the time.
Oh, really?
That
was a really fun week.
When I was in high school, I actually had a carton of milk thrown at me by a chick because I inadvertently insulted the school because I went. She brought up that her brother was getting ready to go there, and I went, "Men go to Hood?" And it was a legitimate question, but it sounded very rude and obnoxious, and therefore you can imagine my shock when my response was a carton of milk to the face.
Well, no, I understand that. Well, I mean, I can understand why you would come to that conclusion, because I don't know, do they not just talk about the fact that it's co-ed? Because I think if you ask, like, anybody else in, like, this state of Maryland who doesn't live in Frederick and who doesn't have a relative going to Hood College... Mm-hmm. I think if you ask them, hey, would you send your son or would you yourself go to Hood College?
No.
Like, isn't Hood College like a women's only college?
To be fair, I mean, I haven't really been casting a very wide net in in the collegiate circles of America, but there are really not that many, you know, single gendered colleges anymore.
I would assume not. But still,
here in the 1950s. You know, they can't vote. They can't go to school with us.
If the college is named something other than Vassar, I'm not even sure why I would even conceive of it being exclusive to one gender or not.
Well, that's why the 1960s.
Gonna go to my school.
That's why the 1960s were so good to us. For a long time, I'm pretty sure that they're not anymore.
No, the 1960s was great for them because it was a decade of boobs, and we went, you know, we don't treat them well enough.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Anyway, we were talking about Adam, right?
Yes.
Yes, we went.
How do we go from Adam to Hood?
Adam graduation party Hood. To Hood to boobs.
To gender to boobs.
To milk to boobs.
Milk to boobs. That did happen.
Well, that's a logical progression.
It is.
Anyway, back to Adam.
And boobs come from.
Yes, I'm thirsty. Yes.
Anyway, but yes, so Adam's graduation party was yesterday. And the band performed, which was cool. It was nice. It was nice. Adam got to jam out a little bit. So did Brian.
Yep.
That was good. Let's see. A lot of food.
Yeah, there was an obnoxious amount. I mean, for kind of a Jewish family, throwing a party, there was pulled pork and
was that pulled pork? I mean, I didn't.
That was pulled pork.
Was it really?
How did I miss this?
It was probably working.
It was really good. And there was that, and there was...
I think it was like pulled beef or something.
There was kind of like the sweet, sloppy Joe.
Yeah.
I just don't want to call it sweet meat to avoid the inevitable joke.
There was like a spaghetti chicken parmesan kind of casserole.
Yeah, spaghetti pie.
It was really, really cold. I want to say it was supposed to be that way.
Yes. Spaghetti pie?
Spaghetti pie.
Put anything in a pie these days.
Spaghetti pie.
Oh, it's actually not
bad. Want
some spaghetti pie?
It
was
good.
But, yeah. Would you like some spaghetti pie? That was a pretty decent party. What was it, Live from Suburbia 2?
Electric Boogaloo.
You know, we didn't add that on, but so many things don't get that, you know, something part 2, Electric Boogaloo standing. So
I was Taken 2.
You know what we're talking about.
Because I'm like, Breaking 2, yeah.
Ever since Taken 2 came out, I felt like it was no longer couth for us to sarcastically append Electric Boogaloo to the end of anything else anymore, because Taken 2, Electric Boogaloo was the omega of that joke.
Because it rhymes.
Yeah, you're never
going to
get anything
better. Because it rhymed with break
into. We would really have to
retire that joke.
To move on. Like, so if Live from Suburbia 2 should really be like Suburb Harder now, or just
Taken 2, the quest
suburb
for more
Suburb Harder?
That's what it should have been. Live from Suburbia 2, the quest for more money.
Exactly. It's like
all the search for more money. Yeah, that actually works better.
Spaceballs the
Lunchbox. Merchandising.
Hangover 3, idiots will watch this.
You know what? I've heard mixed reviews on that movie. I've heard it's a
Ken Jeong movie now. Like,
yeah, that's what
they may as well just hand,
oh God,
hand
that character
over to
is
the,
his
over
worst
to the frantic
role.
Naked Chinese guy.
Well,
that,
that thing,
character is his worst role.
The thing is, I've heard two varying opinions.
First of all, no, Deep Wang is his worst role.
Oh, touche. I forgot about Deep Wang.
There was dignity in leaping out of a trunk naked and attacking Bradley Cooper.
Okay, there was dignity in that.
Okay. Deep Wang, was it who again?
Transformers 3.
Yeah. I had completely forgotten about
that. Just the name Deep Wang. Wait, he's Asian.
Michael Bay.
We all know Michael Bay
is on the front of like not only great directing but also wit.
Well,
it was so hard to
say
that.
He's saying that with sarcasm, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah,
it was really hard to say that without vomiting.
That covert racist humor right there.
The king of schlock.
Overt racist humor, I should say. Anyway, but no, I've heard two major opinions on that. It's like, first is, obviously, it's really shitty.
Hangover 3,
this is.
Yeah.
Other opinion is that it's still not as good as the first Hangover, but it's leagues ahead of Hangover Part 2.
Yeah.
But that wasn't much of a
trail to follow. I didn't bother to see the second one. I felt like, you know, I liked Hangover plenty. I didn't really feel like there was a need for a sequel there.
Yes, there really wasn't.
There was no need for the sequel from the first.
It's always the search for more money.
I actually had a nice conversation about the first Hangover movie recently. One of my peers at our social club, The Haven, forgive me, I his name's not coming to me. He recently discovered my video review show, Geek Critique.
Oh.
Yep, sorry for... I have to plug that as often as I can, right?
And, plug. And where can we find that?
Why, on youtube.com/THESYNAPZE. When you see the Z, you know it's me. Do it today.
Ding, ding, ding.
So yeah,
God, that was just the catchiest plug ever.
He saw my third episode on Dark City, and I mentioned at the very end of that episode that how much I enjoy puzzle movies, you know, movies that I have to turn around in my head to get them, like The Fountain or Shutter Island or The Hangover. And he's the first person to come to me and ask, like, were you being serious when you said The Hangover was a puzzle movie? It's really not. And I said, no, it is. Because there are so many hints as to where Doug is after the title character happens.
Yep.
That they, you know, obviously when they wake up, all this zany crap is happening. And a lot of it is completely meaningless and just there to be funny. But someone does say, hey, Doug's mattress is missing, before they say that Doug himself is missing. And then
they go outside.
The last thing that occurs to them at the hotel before they leave to go search for him is they see, hey, is that Doug's mattress up there in the buttress of the hotel?
Well, they don't say Doug's. They just go, why the hell is there a mattress?
I'm pretty sure they said, isn't that Doug's mattress?
Is it Doug's?
Yeah. Up there. And you know, you've seen all the zany crap, but you really should be thinking to yourself, how do they recognize that that's his mattress? Like, well, they know his mattress is missing, so maybe they're just assuming that it's his. And guess what? It is his, because they carried him on his mattress in their drunken stupor up to the roof. And Doug was through the mattress to try and signal them, and he got caught. So that's where he is. Like, that clue is just staring you in the face, and you don't process it because you don't feel like you're processing a mystery yet.
Yeah, you're too busy looking at the baby.
Yeah.
And there are multiple references in the whole movie to roofs or roofies.
Exactly.
So, you know, it didn't even occur to me until I saw it the second time on Blu-ray, but it's like, yeah, all the hints were there. So that's why it's a puzzle movie.
So there's plenty of other summer movies out. Let's just go from the, kind of, I guess, the start of this summer movie blockbusters. Iron Man 3.
Boo.
And let's go. Well, obviously, we already got our opinions out.
Here we go.
Like, let's start from Brian, and then we'll work our way around to myself again.
So, wait, are we talking about what we want to see, or our opinions
if we've
on
seen
that
it,
movie?
Anything. If you've seen it. If you've seen it. If you've
seen
you
Iron Man 3.
If you haven't seen Iron Man 3, just say pass.
You can't spoil it.
Fine.
So are we not doing BG on the movies anymore, or?
Well, you know what?
We can just do it here.
What if we just
boldly going nowhere and we're talking about movies? So
real fast. One stipend. Can we talk about after this what our opinions are of Man of Steel?
How can we talk about our opinions of it if
it's
not out yet?
Yeah, but like just like all this.
Are we excited or not?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that after. So Iron Man 3.
Okay. I actually saw this in theaters the week after it came out, and so I saw it, and I thought it was a really good movie. They do some things in that movie that more Marvel fans than I would really consider to be kind of a no-no, but overall is just to put it lightly, it's a no-no. But I thought it was a really well thought out movie, and the multiple suits were interesting. Like seeing how he's just not able to get this one suit going right is actually a pretty interesting little arc. And I really like what they did with Pepper in this. I'm not going to spoil that, but I thought what they did with Pepper Potts was fantastic.
I'll give you that. Pepper has meaning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
For once.
4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I thought it was well worth 4 stars.
Okay, so I'm guessing we're trying to hold off on the on major spoilers.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, I'll do my best to keep in line. Really, I think it's my favorite installment of the trilogy. That I feel like it had the fewest plot holes, the most complex plot of any of the previous Iron Man films. I appreciate how it was trying to essentially be a sequel to two movies at the same time. I really liked how it was more of a Tony Stark story than an Iron Man story, although they certainly make up for the lack of Iron Man towards the end. And I just thought it was quite a lot of fun. The thing that we shall not speak is yes, okay. Now I am a Marvel fan. You know, I'm holding up. I'm the one holding up the Marvel side of our comic book show.
I'm the DC guy. So.
And the thing that ticks off other Marvel fans, I don't mind. In fact, I actually had to ask my friend Brendan, who I saw it with, what was the, you know, I heard there was supposed to be some part of this movie that was supposed to tick me off as a Marvel fan. What do you think it was? And he says, oh, was it this? And I said, oh, yeah, I guess I should have been mad at that, shouldn't I? I actually been thinking about this for a long time because it's a matter of you know, of a character being portrayed very differently than he is in the source material. And growing up trying to be a comic book fan in the 90s, see Geek Critique 10 for more of my trials and tribulations of that endeavor. I digested a lot of TV shows and movies primarily. And the early Marvel movies were really just did not give a crap about their source material at all. Like, I think of Dolph Lundgren's Punisher film,
yes.
Which the two biggest strikes against that is, one, the plot is Italian mobsters hiring Frank to rescue their kids from Japanese mobsters, and Frank being, you got it, boss. Yeah. And also, he never wears a t-shirt with a skull on it.
That's a big fail right
there. How hard would that have taxed their costume designer to find a t-shirt with a skull on it for him to wear as the Punisher?
Or just make it.
I'm
pretty sure they sold Punisher shirts back
then. So getting to Iron Man 3.
Okay. So there's a character that is altered significantly for the purpose of the movie, and I didn't mind it because I felt like it served the movie's universe so well. I felt like the actor's performance... When he pulled the rug out from underneath the audience's feet, was just so damn entertaining. I didn't even really think about the ramifications of what he was saying. I'm reminded actually of you, Colin, when you said that that The Dark Knight was the worst comic book adaptation of all time.
Yes. But his argument was sound.
When I first heard that, I got to admit, I mean, I try to be a very polite person, but when you first said that, I wanted to run you down with a truck full of cancer.
I have never heard him talk like that in my life.
Sorry.
What would that truck look like?
I don't want to
know. I don't know, but it would just keep growing.
I don't want to look. It looked like Lance. It would look like Lance Armstrong.
I just got this shot of like Mad Max Jordan like.
Here's your cancer.
Anyway,
I wish I could say I created that line, but I'm borrowing it from another internet personality.
Oh my
but
god!
Anyway,
it's good.
You explained to me that the Dark Knight takes such a more realistic, more humanizing version of the Batman that you didn't like, that you felt like that wasn't reminiscent of the comic book stories of Batman that you preferred.
Yeah, my biggest problem with The Dark Knight was that they basically made Batman a more appealing, more human character, but in essence they kind of betrayed the mythos that we're all familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was perfectly willing to throw away being Batman because Maggie Gyllenhaal bit the dust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just kind of it stepped out of the comic book. It essentially became not so much a Batman movie,
that's
but like a detective movie
Knight,
that
right.
featured Batman.
Yeah, okay. You know, I guess I understand that now, but I didn't mind those changes because the movies were just so damn good.
Wasn't going as far as to say that they sucked.
I feel that Iron Man 3 is the same way for me.
Yeah, and again, my reasoning in those situations is not that if it's an entertaining movie, that's fine. I don't mind. And that's what I said in that top 10 list is that, I mean, The Dark Knight is by no stretch of the imagination a bad film. It's actually quite the opposite. It is a great film, but as a comic book adaptation, it is kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you know, that's another mitigating factor with Dolph Lundgren's Punisher and Albert Pune's Captain America is that in addition to not really being reflective of the source material, they as movies, they just suck.
Yeah, exactly. Captain America.
But
this is not the case.
Your part of the review, is there any ratings? Out of five?
I want to 4.5 out of 5.
Okay, that sounds good. All right,
call going real call? Fast with Batman. Four and a half out of five Dora the Explorer watches.
There we go.
All right, go ahead. Hit us with your Iron Man 3.
Now, real fast, before we get into that, would you say that your biggest problem, just to go back to what The Dark Knight, did you feel like with The Dark Knight Rises, it was more like, or The Dark Knight was like, last time on As the Batman Turns? Was it more like that? Like, just, it was
honestly, my opinion of that movie is clearly stated in the episode where I talk about it. I don't think we need to revisit
very well.
Anyway, Iron Man 3. Quite frankly, this movie was kind of pointless. I don't know why they made it. I mean, actually, that's a lie. I know why they made it.
The money. Quest for more money.
It's understandable. Money. I mean, it's also, they're trying to set up the new list, the new line of movies to make Avengers 2, which obviously, I mean, an Avengers movie without Tony Stark or Iron Man is kind of pointless. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. It can't work.
Exactly. It can't work. So, but I just... some of the things about this movie just annoyed the ever-loving shit out of me.
Can I add my review to his? Because I feel like we're having the same issues.
Sure. Sorry. We're all having the same issues. Okay, I'm just saying, what you want to say about it. Give your rating and then move on to... We can start... Okay. You know.
I would say that... I mean, it's a very well-shot film. I honestly feel that Jon Favreau's films were better paced.
Absolutely.
And... Jordan, I guess you and I just shared differing views on this, because I think I know what part you're talking about, the big switch moment in the film. I actually feel the opposite. I feel that the switch was more detrimental to the film as more, you know, because, I mean, yeah, no one's seeing it coming, but it's such a departure from the actual
comic. It was a colossal departure.
That's the thing. It's like, I watched this movie because I was like, yeah, the Mandarin's in this movie. Mm. Fucking yes. Tony Stark's biggest villain in the comic books. Woo! And I'm like,
without going too far.
I'm like, but in this, it's just like...
Ouch.
That's... What? That's the man... What? I don't know. You know what? I was envisioning it one way. When I heard Ben Kingsley was going to be the Mandarin, I was like...
Oh, God, yeah. Yes. Stoked.
I was stoked about that. I was happy that Gwyneth Paltrow got a bigger role in this movie, because let's be honest, Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2,
didn't do shit.
Avengers, all she did was sit around just and just there. Look concerned. That's all she did. And take her shoes off for Joss Whedon. I didn't know he had a Tarantino foot fetish.
The kicker was
she had some fucking Daisy Dukes.
The kicker was in the Avengers, because in both Iron Man 1 and 2 she at least looked professional when she looked in distress, and then in Avengers they were like short shorts. So look like a hoe while you're depressed. But anyway, right, yes.
So out of five, what would you give?
I give it. See, the thing is, it's still a decently shot movie, and it wasn't like I was gonna walk out, but it's I'm gonna honestly give it a 3. To be honest,
3 out of 5.
Yeah, because I mean, if anything, it was paced well enough that I was kind of entertained, but honestly,
it's a pretty long movie. But I didn't feel like it was. As long as it was.
It was paced decently enough that I could get through it.
It's like 220, right?
But yeah, something like that. All right. But the problem is, it's just there were so many issues between that and the comic books.
It's not insufferable. It's just empty. All
right.
Yes, actually, yeah. That's very good.
What's the worst movie? What's the worst movie? X-Men 3 or this?
X-Men 3.
All right. Ooh. Moving on.
All right, moving on to Zach. Get your opinion. Opinions are probably not differing, so
no. His might be a little more.
First of all, I now have an affronted annoyance with the holiday known as Christmas, thanks to this movie, because it's referenced every 10 goddamn seconds.
Christmas in May.
Yeah, Christmas this, Christmas that, Christmas hit me with a wiffle ball bat.
I'm pretty sure
every 10 seconds.
Every movie that Shane Black has either written or directed is set at Christmas. Lethal Weapon.
That annoyed out of me. But that's not why the movie lost points. That was just a pet peeve of mine. I agree with him. I felt like this movie was a shell. I think that the reason that Iron Man 1 was so good is because they knew the pressure. They were trying to set up a chain of movies that would ultimately lead to an Avengers film. So Marvel sat there, Jon Favreau sat there, and they're like, you know, this has to be damn near perfect. We cannot fuck this up. And they put so much work and passion and like actual interest into the first film that it just became a gem. It's one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen is the first Iron Man.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, I agree.
And it worked. Like, the following movies, some were okay, but, you know, you never saw one of the pre-Avenger films as, like, truly horrible. Even Ed Norton's Hulk was passable. Mm-hmm. Then you get to the Avengers, and it was absolutely incredible, and you were like, oh my god, they did it. And I had my doubts. That was one time where I was really wrong. I didn't think those characters could mesh, and that movie was just comic poetry on screen.
Yes.
So you would think that Phase 2, they would want to apply the same pressure, the same love, the same interest, because you're trying to keep it alive for the Avengers 2, and I didn't feel it. I felt that they saw the Avengers' success as a money pit, and they took a more relaxed approach to this film, and I just didn't get... They spent the whole movie pushing that it was darker. It was going to be darker times for Tony Stark, and honestly, his issues in the second movie were so much darker than, you know, I may not have a suit and stuff, but I've got this plucky little kid, so let's laugh every 5 minutes. It never felt as dire as it needed to. I never felt like he was really out of it, besides the fact that he had a really lame post-traumatic stress situation going on the whole time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that was one of the issues
I had. His meltdowns were getting really annoying.
The thing is, it's like...
I'll agree with you, the meltdowns were getting
It was probably the weakest part of the movie for me, but it still wasn't nearly as cloying as Iron Man 2's blood poisoning that was cured by his father's architecture.
You know, I gotta be honest, I didn't hate that much.
I'll say this much.
Hey, everyone, I'm a Walt Disney ripoff.
I'm gonna say this much. I'll agree with you on the position that that magical cure that popped up via Howard Stark back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Was a bit of a reach.
That was kind of bullshit. I'll give you that. Yeah. But honestly, the framing device that Tony's one saving grace is also the one thing that is killing him. Doubly killing him, actually, because the arc reactor is keeping the shrapnel from cutting his heart into ribbons, but it's also poisoning his bloodstream, which is in fact killing him. I felt that was a better pacing device than, people are being mean to me because I'm Iron Man. They know my secret identity. They're gonna fuck with my family. Yeah.
Well, oh, no, that's not what I thought it was. I thought
it was post-traumatic stress disorder. He wasn't.
Well,
he felt unstoppable. That's why he gave his address to the Mandarin on air.
Oh, I know.
Like and a then, loon.
Why would you do that?
Here's my address. I'm gonna smash this phone now to make it effective. One more thing before my rating. Okay, the movie is not called War Machine. I get that. But and I am a War Machine fan, and I'm sure that part of my hatred, or not hatred, that's harsh. Part of my distaste for this movie is biased because of my love of War Machine. But you can't put War Machine in a movie and not have him fire a single bullet. You cannot do that. Unacceptable.
I thought it was okay. That was the one thing I thought was bullshit with this movie was like, oh wait, he's the Iron Patriot now. I'm like,
by the way, Iron Patriot. Bullshit. For those of you who don't read the comic books, Iron Patriot is Norman Osborn.
Norman Osborn. Thank you.
Hello. In this movie, it's a paint job.
I thought, okay, that's the one thing I thought was
War Machine. War Machine was testing is too hawkish.
Oh, I know. He's just too much. But now he's the president's bitch.
He's got
this amazing looking ion cannon on his shoulder to replace the minigun. Never fires it. Just points it at people. All he does is the trademark Iron Man pulse push. No bullets. It wasn't War Machine at all. And Rhodey was practically useless the whole movie.
Yeah,
I was so disappointed
in the face.
Yeah, but that's it. Like, he walked around in a green golf shirt. It was horrible. It killed me. And I know it's not War Machine the movie, but if you're going to put emphasis on the sidekick from the beginning, you've got to give him more to do. Like, what they did with Gwyneth Paltrow, that was the one thing I gave to.
Yes.
War Machine's appearance may have been brief and part of it lame because he didn't have control of the suit. But when he did have control of the suit, he was a fucking badass. So I'm not saying I hate the movie and that it sucks. I was just very disappointed and I felt like it was a little more empty than I expected. So I have to go 2.5 out of 5.
Real fast. There's something that people really haven't touched on here, and it's the whole... basically, they were touching on the whole like idea of what terrorism does to a world and like what... the face of terrorism does. And I thought that point was actually pretty well done.
Yeah, if I want to do that, dude, I'll watch the news. I don't want to see that shit in a movie.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like really harping on a horrible American disaster, but that is so 2002.
Alrighty.
Yeah, it very much. It was like...
I'll say what's good with the movie first.
Okay.
I think like some of the plot twists were... Some of the plot twists were engaging.
The twists were not the problem, because you sure as hell didn't
see it coming. They were engaging and exciting and unexpected.
Yeah.
And it kept me going. But there's like that the kind of cute moment between Iron Man, the mechanic, and the kid. It was nice.
It's very rare that I actually enjoy seeing a kid in cinema, and this time I think they pulled it off.
Yeah, however, he wasn't cliche.
Fuck was his mom? He's just hanging around with some stranger in the shed.
Yeah, yeah. That is
somebody's got to realize something's up there.
Marty McFly did that too, and no one complained about it.
You know what? Remember Mystery Men? Kel just walks in. He's like, "Hey, Dad, me and three random men are gonna go hang out in my bedroom."
Okay, you got me.
Dad was just sitting there. I was reading his paper.
I knew it.
I can't believe
didn't even
that.
Say a word.
I'm honestly just pleased one, to hear the one words last good man.
Thing. One last good thing. The suit designs at the end were pretty cool.
Yes.
I mean, like some of those, like, hey, why wasn't that there in the earlier? It was so cool.
But wouldn't you call that a bit cliche how they saved it just for that last battle?
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Like, all right, Mandarin, his voice, the Mandarin character, his voice is.
You'll never see me.
He's like he's auditioning to be the new Mr. Spell. Like, because he's just like pronouncing every word.
Terrorism is spelled T.
I wanted to, in a past life, I was Walter Cronkite. You know,
do
like,
you know just, how to spell IED?
And that's the way it was.
And it really annoyed me, and it took me out of the thing. And even after the whole that the other thing that happens, which, you know, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. And my main problem with this movie, too freaking. Long.
Agreed.
Way too long.
There's so many theme with movies these days.
Yeah, they don't know how to fucking delete a scene. Because it's like they sat there in the dailies, but they watched them too many times, and they got kind of emotionally attached to them, and thought, well, this is important. Well, this is important. Well, this is important. And then they didn't take the tough decisions and say, this scene's not going anywhere. I mean, even the part with even though it was cute, the part with Iron Man and the kid in that little town just should have been cut out. Him playing all CSI on that whole deal, just cut that shit out, and just like a lot of the things, especially the like the interrupting moments to introduce Mandarin, and that was like. Felt like another movie. It just took me out of it, and like the verisimilitude and everything.
Fair enough.
The juxtaposition in this entire film was just remarkably stagnant and almost staccato. Like, it just you're there, and then okay, then there's a bad guy now. There was video footage. What am I watching? I was very confused, and I think that if they would have deleted some scenes. And kind of put more Iron Man stuff in the beginning instead of just cramming it all at the end, like Jon Favreau did before. But even though he had some involvement with this, he did it with Cowboys and Aliens. He did the same exact thing where all the cool stuff happens at the end
in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, and then I really hate when movies do that.
Yeah,
and
it really the one thing that this movie can hold over Iron Man 2 was that the final villain was at least you got some satisfaction instead of. Building up Mickey Rourke with some lightning whips, and then all at the end, fucking suit.
Oh, and the last spoiler alert, I have to do it.
Oh.
The last part, I'll be vague. This antagonist, you know, he's a turd that won't flush. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you kill him. What? Oh, he's back up again. Come on, back up again. You know, I think that pretty much right. Oh, he's back up again. And
just
like,
wrap him in toilet paper. It'll go down this time.
Did this turn into Die Hard?
Exactly.
Not even Die Hard. I felt there were some blatant Terminator ripoffs in this movie.
A little bit.
Not like, yeah. Blatant's not the right word, but there were parts where I'm just sitting there waiting for...
Only if Pepper had gone, you're terminated, fucker.
Now, can I say one thing about the length of this movie again? I have not had to pee so much after seeing a movie... Since, like, Return of the King.
I wrote down the time.
I wrote down the time I went there. I went in. The movie started.
Transformers started the movie.
What did he say?
He said Terminator.
Terminator.
That would have been a much better movie.
It would have been.
No, that sounds like I got it. This movie is not, like, infringing, like, on Transformers Dark of the Moon territory. That movie was, like, what, 3 hours?
No, I wrote down the time I went in, and I wrote down the time I came out. 9:10, I sat down and began to watch a movie, including previews.
I didn't walk out until 11:30.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't want to take away from your argument.
And I didn't even like stay till the end of the credits. I don't know what happened if there's anything 3, that happens there.
But I shit you not. When I went to see Star Trek, which by the way was wonderful, when I went to see Star Trek Into Darkness, there were 11 previews. Mm-hmm. 11.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Like 40
that,
minutes
that,
of
that
fucking.
That sounds about right for my experience too.
Yeah, I was appalled. Like it was like the first chain of previews ended. It was like, oh, all right, movie time. Put on your 3D glasses
you ever
now.
Watch
five
so
more.
You ever watch so many previews you forget the movie you're watching?
Yeah.
What's with that?
I swear to God,
we're watching Tora.
No, part of this.
Oh, it's Pearl Harbor. Shit.
Part of this is because I'm an absent-minded idiot, but part of it was because I watched so many trailers that for some reason I thought I had gone to see Pain and Gain when I went to see Star Trek Into Darkness. So when Star Trek started and the music started, I was like, Star Trek? Oh, that's right. It was horrible. I had convinced myself I was seeing Pain and Gain.
Michael Bay. How many more lives?
My rating. Just wrap it.
I think Michael Bay and Zack Snyder should make a movie called I Drop the Camera where everything's out of focus and in slow motion.
That's a long title.
I Drop the Camera.
What they should do. Yeah. No, they should. Yeah.
I think you're broke, Sean.
You're right. All right, we got this idea. I'm going to put a camera on a merry-go-round, and then we'll put a hot chick in the middle. Spin!
Now, make sure when it falls, you get a really good shot of Megan Fox's ass.
And then J.J. Abrams, you sit in the side, and then you shine flashlights at the camera. All right!
Dude, I'll tell you what. That kid, J.J. Abrams as a child, must have had nothing but mag lights to entertain himself for his entire life. Whoa! Look at this! Fuck shadow puppets, now I'm blind!
All right, before we get any more off topic, we already have 2.75 out of 5.
I'll take it.
Yeah. It was a disappointment, but, you know, it wasn't a waste of my time.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it's basically Iron Man 2 levels. I mean, you could still watch it, but you're gonna be like, why this?
Iron Man 3 was just like, hey, remember Avengers? Remember that?
Because Tony Stark
gods fell down from the sky.
It's fucked up.
Remember that?
Like it kept like every other line had something to deal with.
When you were setting up the Avengers, the references to other characters was awesome. And in this movie, like there was a reference to Thor where I just wanted to punch Guy in the face.
Yeah.
When he's like, "Oh, flare went out the window when a man with a hammer fell from the sky last year." I was just like,
"Fuck you!
Just shut up."
I have no earthly idea why you have an issue with that. I'm sorry.
It's just, like I said, it just felt forced.
Well, yeah, very forced.
Two things. All right. Two things in regards to this. I just want to point out. I saw the trailer for Thor 2, The Dark World.
I know you hate Thor 2, but...
You know what? Actually, after seeing this trailer, it makes me look back on the time I wasted watching Thor.
Wasted? That's harsh.
Well, you know what? When I first saw it, I consider it wasted, but now I'm like, man, I'm going to miss that 2 hours of my life because I'm going to go see Thor 2 and I'm going to be like, what the hell happened?
No, like, okay,
but there's elves in that movie.
And Christopher
what is this, Shakespeare in the Park?
Yeah, Christopher. Like, okay, did you, Jordan, as the Marvel guy, did you like Thor?
Yeah.
Okay, I very much enjoyed Thor based on the fact that
it hurt. I liked all the Marvel movies. The Incredible Hulk one was probably my least favorite.
But it was still, but you still didn't feel like you wasted your time.
No.
Yeah. I would agree. Hulk was... That's my one complaint. Of all the sequels that got announced with Phase 2, they skipped over Hulk when we all know that Ruffalo needs his own movie.
Mm.
He really does. He can't just cameo. I bet they're going to try and cameo him in every movie since he doesn't get his own.
They already established the new villain of the next Hulk movie. I mean, might as well use him.
Oh, what, the leader? The
leader.
Yeah. There's no reason not to give Ruffalo his movie after... And he gave an astounding performance in The Avengers.
Yes!
He did. And they respond to that by making him the mock counselor after in the after credits of Iron Man 3. That's not a spoiler, by the way, because it's completely pointless to the rest of the movie.
What happened? Please explain to me the after credits, because I didn't stay because I was just like, oh, what the fuck?
You know how he narrated the movie at the beginning and before the credits he was narrating?
Oh, yeah.
The whole time he was telling the story of everything that happened in Iron Man 3, he was talking to Mark Ruffalo like he was a therapist. And Mark Ruffalo fell asleep. How funny.
I fell asleep too.
I remember just about everyone in the theater stayed for that scene, and like all of them asked, like, who was that guy?
I know you just know you wanted to slap them. Just like, take one of your first
you paid,
editions.
To be fair,
you paid money for it to get a ticket with a 3 on it. And that's not the price.
Mark Ruffalo's hair was way longer than it was in the Avengers.
I was going to say, he's been listening to a little too much Ted Nugent between movies.
I mean, dude, how many people went to go see the Avengers? Like, fucking everybody.
Literally everybody except for the babies that were born.
My grandma saw the Avengers. Okay?
I ain't going to see them.
There's
a man in space. I know when they went on the moon.
By the way.
There's only one guy who doesn't dress like that.
This other thing. I was like, with the second phase of movies, they're obviously... At the end of the Avengers, they're obviously panning out. Okay, is it Thanos or
Thanos? It is Thanos.
Okay.
He may appear in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, but we're not certain yet.
They're panning out.
I honestly think they're setting up the Guardians of the Galaxy movie to establish Thanos, because I'm almost certain they're going to end that movie with Thanos killing all of them.
Pretty much.
I really do.
I have no idea why they're doing a Guardians of the Galaxy movie otherwise.
I don't either. It's kind of like Green Lantern, only much worse.
Gamora is kind of cute, but there's going to be a talking raccoon and a talking tree.
No, yeah. Mark my words.
How many action figures do they expect to sell from that?
Mark Tons. My words. That movie will end with many Guardian corpses.
Yes.
I'm just saying, but so you go, oh man, Thanos is a bad motherfucker.
Something I want to push, because it's something I'm afraid of. Like, everyone has, we all had our fears about the Avengers movie sucking, just because, you know, that kind of combination of talent and directors and all these story plot lines coming together, we all thought, there's no way this is going to fucking work. But it did, and we were all happy as a byproduct.
But
this is good.
Now we're terrified for phase two.
Here's the problem. I've had this horrible thought since I saw the Avengers, and since we waited through the credits and we saw Thanos, and you know,
and Shawarma.
Mostly Thanos. I love this conversation.
The true villain of phase two, Shawarma and diarrhea.
Yeah, but no, here's
I love that scene. It really just like, after a hard day's work, do you not just sit there and eat quietly?
Well, I really just wanted I really wanted Thor to be like, this Shawarma is good. Another.
Actually, it would have been funny if he just threw it and it hit Dr. Banner in the face, and
stuck on the wall or something. Or God forbid if one of them, food fight, anything.
Yeah, all right, but anyway.
Meet the Avengers now on ABC.
By the way, that was basically, I was after Max. All right, but anyway, so here's my thing. So, anybody get a good look at Thanos? He looked like Hellboy.
For a split second, I thought he was Red Skull.
I thought he was Hellboy.
That is my fear.
I'm okay with that.
My fear is because...
I'll take Red Skull before Thanos any day.
Wasn't he in Captain? But no, here, listen. We all know that the cosmic cube...
Sent him to Thor's world.
If you see at the end of the movie, if you access the power of the cosmic cube, it transports you to another realm.
But it transferred to that realm, and you can even see in the movie when it opens up and you see the galaxies, it's not even vague. It looks exactly like some of the galaxies that you see in the Thor movie.
Exactly, but the problem
is, he's up there somewhere.
That power is not contained, and so he was obviously disfigured again in some way.
You think he was turned into Thanos?
Exactly.
Oh God, that would be so awful.
Exactly. Oh. You don't give up, do you?
Okay.
Let me tell you who I really am. I am a Nazi.
That would be pretty offensive to me.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying this. Like the facial. Freeze frame that movie. Swear to God, go back and freeze frame that movie. Tell me he does not look like the Red Skull.
A little bit.
A little bit. I swear to God.
Oh my God. If he looks more like Hellboy than Red Skull,
and he has those chin ridges. I don't know. I'm just saying.
No, just go back and look at it. If you think I'm wrong, no big deal. I'm just saying.
50 years is a long time for somebody to change. I mean,
and you just took the full power of the cosmic cube to the face.
Maybe you could take a little red out of the Red Skull there, because it was like,
hey,
Ace with big red.
Purple.
It was like.
Maybe Red Skull is Thanos' bitch. Who knows?
Dude, I'm just saying, if you called that twist 5 years in the past, I will fucking flip when we go see this movie.
That would actually be pretty funny.
We come on this podcast, the year was 2013. Colin said it. We have it on file.
We all went to go see that movie, and all of us were just like, fuck.
Fuck.
Like, you all were like, fuck. I would have been like, aha!
Yeah, Colin's gonna
we're all like needlessly throwing cash into your hand while regretting it. We're just like,
Colin's
God damn it.
He's gonna jump up like Pat and be like, Weedon, you son of a bitch, like, I watched your movies.
Anyway. So, okay. Alright, well, I think we've actually covered more than we ever would want to on Iron Man 3. Yes. So we're gonna go ahead and wrap it up.
I don't suppose there's any time to talk about Star Trek.
I think only half of us have seen it.
What about Man of Steel then?
Alright, yeah, well, we can.
Okay, you know what? If we're
doing that, let's say what you think about like what Man of Steel according to the trailers.
Okay.
I think it looks pretty decent. You know, I'm kind of nervous about.
We'll go in a circle.
Okay,
we'll go
around.
Start
with Sean.
We'll get Brian's last because he's the DC guy.
Yes. Yeah, there. We'll do it this way.
Oh, we'll do it.
Counter.
There we
are. Go ahead, Sean.
So anyway, like according to the trailers, I was like, yeah, it looks pretty good, but I've been misjudged by a trailer thousands of times before. So
and Zack Snyder's good at trailers and not good at movies.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, Zack Snyder, last movie I saw of his was Sucker Punch. And that was, well, that was that.
I still feel like myself and Bob Chipman of the Escapists are like the only people in the world who actually got that movie. We're gonna have to say that for another episode.
Okay, please do.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, I just don't want Lois Lane to get raped, so just don't do that, Zach, and I'll be fine. All right, go to you.
You don't want to see Amy Winehouse get raped?
Wait, Amy Winehouse? She'd be dead. Amy Adams, thank you.
Amy Adams, fuck. I can't do... I always forget the names of people.
Amy Adams.
Here, the best
they try
way,
to make me do Man of Steel, and I say no.
I broke it. I'm sorry. Okay, now, here's my thing. I am not a big DC person. I'm more leaning towards Marvel. However, this is the first time I can honestly say that I'm excited for a Superman movie. Like, the trailers... I understand that Zack Snyder is the trailer master, but the more I see... Like, the most recent trailer has some kind of giant mechanical tentacled something attacking Metropolis.
Yeah.
It just looks... It looks like it's going to be visually amazing. Like, I really think that there's a lot of hope for this movie. The only
Nolan's producing, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big... I think this might actually do for Superman what Batman Begins did for Batman. I really think this is the push that Superman needs. I really think that they might do this right. However, there's one clip in all the trailers I've seen. There's only one clip that hit me with a massive amount of doubt, and it was the stupid campy moment where Lois Lane and Superman are talking in the interrogation room about the S on his shirt.
Yeah,
and it's just this stupid awkward. It's not an S where I come from. Well, here it's an S. And then she goes, you know what? Because it's an S, we should call you Soup. And then it's interrupted by a busted microphone, and he goes, excuse me. And I'm like, oh God, if there's banter like that in this entire movie, it's gonna lose some serious points.
Yeah.
But that aside, the trailer, I mean, who here, when he puts his fist on the ground and you just see the shit start, who here doesn't get amped the fuck up? And nobody, even if you hate Superman, you were like, fucking awesome.
Fair enough.
So, honestly, I will see it. This will be the first time that I will actually be, like, going to the premiere of Superman.
Okay, so, I agree with you, Zach. I did see, I mean...
The camp?
Yes. I will admit, though, Henry Cavill makes a far more convincing Superman than Brandon Routh did.
Let's not talk about Returns, shall we?
I'm just saying. You gotta make a comparison.
He made flavored Doritos. Here's the thing.
Wrong!
He didn't make a good Superman, but he made a definitely a really good Clark Kent.
Okay, but yeah, I'm saying Henry Cavill looks. I mean, I can honestly, I see Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and minus red tights, okay,
whatever.
Fine. Minus the red underpants. What are you gonna do?
No, this particular costume looks damn good.
Well, it's basically the same thing. It's they're doing more form instead of function. They're doing more function than instead of form.
They're also not going to play the damn theme every 10 seconds.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about the costume,
which
apparently
is a good thing.
I don't mind that though, because
I minded it.
Returns.
Here's the thing about the costume in the movie, from what I've read, the costume is actually the undergarment that all Kryptonians wear before they put on this battle armor. So basically, Superman, because he's a refugee, he doesn't get that battle armor, but he does have the Under Armour that he grows into. So basically, he's already wearing underwear.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, well, if we put underwear on top of underwear, that'd be weird.
I'm sending you to Earth, my only son.
Quail man.
Here, take these thermal underwear you can wear when you're an adult.
Yes. Where's Patty Mayonnaise?
Wear these underpants on top of your underpants.
So, yes, I actually do admit, I do like the costume design. Henry Cavill, I think, will make a very awesome Superman. As Zach has already mentioned, the visual effects are very arresting. I did like them. At least in the trailer. The giant robot tentacle thing, I was like, I wonder if they're bringing, like living metal living metal Brainiac.
That'd be cool.
It's like Zod is basically controlling living metal Brainiac.
I'm not going to lie, I kind of felt like Zack Snyder put the wrong thing in the wrong movie, because I was like, isn't that the tentacle thing that was supposed to be in Watchmen?
God damn it! You put the squid in this movie! What?!
I sure hope that it'll at least be better than the last movie that prominently featured metal tentacles destroying a city, that being Transformers 3. Why do we keep mentioning that movie tonight?
I don't know, because we loathe that movie, and that is the standard of shit in our
Oh, so nobody's excited for 4?
Fuck you.
I can't do it anymore.
I think we'd be more excited for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm not getting into that.
And this time we're aliens?
Has anybody heard who April is in that
movie? I'm sorry, anyway. Yes, we heard. Anyway, okay. And let's not go into it. Okay, yes. So, I'm going to go see
Anger
that
Rising?
Night. Yes.
So, opening night?
Yes,
okay,
totally.
I agree.
Jordan.
Okay. The one thing I noticed about the trailer, everyone in that trailer acts like assholes.
Yep.
Am I the only one who noticed that?
No.
You had dialogue like, Lara, Superman's mother, says like, if you send him to Earth, they will consider him a freak. They will shun him. They will abandon him. And Pop's all like, he'll be a god. Let them try. Yeah. My kid can kick out.
Cue the Disney music.
And then he pulls a school bus out of a lake or something, and you get this frenzied mother saying like,
my son
saw what
was
he
on
did.
The bus.
Was on the bus. He saw what Clark did. He saved all their lives. I want to break my foot off in his ass.
No, the best line along that vein is Kevin Costner be like, it's like, you can't keep showing people what you can do. It's like, what? Was I supposed to let him die? He was like,
maybe you should have.
Maybe you should have.
This is really fucking funny.
What the fuck?
I mean, am I the only person in the theater like when we saw that? I was like, what the fuck, dude? Really?
What the hell happened to you, the postman?
I was sitting there thinking, wow, this guy sounds like my dad.
This kid's like 10. Jesus Christ.
Of course, we already mentioned that. Well, on Earth, it's an S.
Oh,
like,
God.
You know, screw you and your heritage, Superman.
Yeah, right now the S stands for shut the fuck up.
You speak English on Earth.
You speak American,
America. Yeah, really, that's really what's going. Well, here it's an S, so fuck you, Superman.
Excuse me, quick question. Like, Superman would be like, it's an S here on Earth. Really? Like, there are hundreds of languages. Is it an S in all languages? No, it's a shit.
In Spanish, it's an SA.
Yeah, I was going to say. If he had landed in Japan, they wouldn't have said shit about the
Japan.
So, and lastly, of course, I had to be the one to make the joke when Russell Crowe puts him in the rocket. I of course said, "Do not worry, son. I am sending you to live with another Robin Hood."
One thing I forgot. One thing I forgot.
Oh no!
He just got it.
Unfortunately, it's not Carrie Elway's. I'm
pretty sure he's still suffering from cutting his foot off.
Going back to camp, real quick, did anybody find General Zod's yelling of "I will find him"?
I will find him.
He kind of sounded like it was very underwhelming. He sounded kind of like a priss. I will find him.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Sting's yelling at the end of Dune.
I will kill him.
I will kill him.
The spice must flow.
Yes, it's like that.
Yeah.
Over. Like he's fucking in a kabuki class. I will find him.
Yeah, that's what I said. There's two sides to this coin. Like he says, there's things that make you slightly afraid.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little.
Would you say opening night?
Probably.
Okay. Yeah, totally opening night.
Go to town, Brian.
All right, cool. So here's the thing, and this is the thing that I really think is important about Man of Steel coming out, is that it's coming out literally a year after, you know, Dark Knight. And the thing about that is that the message of that movie is overall hope, you know, like overall hope. And I think that that's really kind of interesting that that's where DC's going. And I do think that it's interesting that they're kind of just going like, yeah, hey, you remember how like the last 5 fucking movies have all existed in the same universe? Yeah, fuck that.
No, actually, the fifth movie existed in the same universe as just the first two.
Well, true, but I'm just saying, like, okay, sure, there wasn't, like, a computer genius Richard Pryor, but still.
I don't want to live in a universe where Richard Pryor's a computer genius.
So, yo, what's this? What's this FICA mean?
But I do think that, like, I mean,
letter F in Richard Pryor. Oh no, we thought poorly on this one.
But am I the only person who, like, when I first saw, like, oh, they're doing Superman, was I the first person who thought, okay, number one, that song's from Lord of the Rings. And number two...
Yeah, why they use the Council of Elrond track on the Lord of the Fellowship.
And number two is like, oh, wait, we're getting another Superman. Oh, shit. Okay, well, apparently they're trying to judge how this is going to do. And eventually they're saying that, well, if this does well, then they're going to do Flash and they're going to do maybe another Green Lantern movie, maybe a Wonder Woman movie.
Aquaman.
And then they want to do Justice League.
You can't skip over Aquaman.
I argue that before Justice League, they do all the time.
Yes, exactly.
It's called being on land.
hey, knock it off.
Okay, before I move on, Sean, have you seen the Justice League cartoon in which Aquaman cut his own hand off with a belt buckle to save an infant? Can you do that? I think not, sir.
Did he do all this?
You were none of us are not nearly out of the water. None of those are nearly as badass as Aquaman.
Can you animate that? I think not, sir.
So did he do all that while talking to fish?
No.
Riding a seahorse?
Meanwhile, in the Hall of Justice, Aquaman makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Damn it, there's no mayo.
I was going to make a fluffer nutter. Aw. But
actually, one of my favorite things...
I ask what a fluffer nutter is, but I don't think I really want to.
Enjoyed on porn sets actually, everywhere.
To be honest, as much as I mock Aquaman...
He goes to the depths.
Hey, guys,
there's
as
no
much
trash.
As you guys mock Aquaman, actually one of my favorite scenes from any comic book is in the Marvel versus DC crossover.
Didn't that the one where Aquaman kicked some serious ass on somebody?
Yeah, he beat the shit out of the Submariner.
That's fine. Damn. That's totally fine. No one likes the Submariner.
Take that, Namor.
The funny thing about it was like at that time he had that hook thing for a hand,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I think he lost his hand in a battle with Black Manta or some shit like that.
Or a shark.
Or something.
Aquaman
like
lost a battle. That's shocking.
I'm pretty sure it was only the cartoon where he cut it off.
Yeah,
his
it was only that. But anyway, so like he's fighting the Submariner. He shoots his hook and it's a grappling hook and it wraps around him. He's like, and the Submariner's like, okay, well, you've just basically just halved your effectiveness. What the fuck are you going to do now? And then you just see this giant shadow just come out of nowhere, and then out of nowhere, killer whale drops on Namor.
Why?
Because he summoned him. He summoned the goddamn killer whale to drop on him.
He freed Willy.
Precisely. And guess what?
Just like in everyday situations.
It's like, he delivers the best line. It's like, that's your problem, Namor. You're too damn noble to cheat. I'm like,
I mean, now that you mentioned it, I'm starting to think Free Willy was a prequel to Aquaman.
Hey, fuck you!
I really want some shrimp scampi tonight. Hey, Aquaman! Oh, yeah, there it is!
Hey. So, Man of Steel, Brian.
Man of Steel, okay. I do think that it's interesting that there's a British guy playing, you know, someone who stands for truth, justice, and the American way, but from everything I've seen, he's gonna do fine. Guess what? In this movie, there's no Kryptonite and no Lex Luthor. Go fucking figure.
I would have at least wanted him in there for, like, not as a bad guy, but just in the background, to know he's there.
Okay, give me this.
It's kind of like the new Amazing Spider-Man movie. You should have Harry in there somewhere.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you this much. Someone's actually freeze-framed one of the trailers, and LexCorp is prominently in the movie, so don't worry
about
that.
That's the same. Well, yeah, but...
Oh, okay, so they're pulling a reverse Wrath of Khan.
Pretty much. Like, LexCorp is there. It's fine. So Lex Luthor will probably be in future installments. I would go figure, but whatever.
But do you find it weird that they're skipping over? Weren't they friends as children?
Who?
Lex Luthor and Superman, or is that later in life that
they
became friends?
Well, I mean, dude, you have
depends on what universe you're reading.
You have like 8 fucking seasons of Smallville for that.
I'm pretty sure there was a comic book in the 60s that established that Lex hates Superman because as children, he made him bald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the thing. It's like
I'm a non-reader. I just thought their relationship was.
You gotta remember,
prominent.
Dude. DC continuity as a bylaw of
it's
DC
fucked.
Comics It has to be rewritten every 10 years.
It's fucked. Okay.
So don't fucked. Don't bother. It's okay. You're only gonna get confused.
But I do think that like it looks fucking awesome. For instance, like I have to go to Walmart every once in a while, right? Sorry, I burped.
We know.
Walmart.
I burped. I go to
Which
Walmart
because he went to talk to Walmart. He was just talking about Walmart.
I went to Walmart the other day, right?
We're talking about Walmart. Goodbye, folks.
No. I went to Walmart.
I'm on to Walmart.
Okay, let me just give you this for example. I've seen this trailer now. Like I've seen trailer 2 and 3 constantly. And every time I go to Walmart, I still, like, whenever the trailer comes on, because the trailer comes on, I still stop and watch the whole thing, because I'm just like, god damn. It looks amazing. Like, I want to see that, like, everything about it just captured my, like, for instance, they're doing, like, the Kryptonian Civil War, apparently.
Between,
you know, Zod and whoever else. And I'm like, this looks like a chill fucking rock.
New before trailer.
So, folks, good news. The Man of Steel trailer is kid tested, Walmart approved.
Yes.
Anyway.
Walmart approved.
So
it is weird that you can buy your tickets early from Walmart.
It's a little weird. It really is.
So, but, ladies and gentlemen who shop at Walmart, when you and your cousin run out of condoms, you can get Superman tickets early.
Wow, really?
Wow, thank you.
We're gonna go to that. That's
there's Walmart's actually a horrible
there's ice cream. There's a little quick anecdote because I was at work. That we sell ice cream. That is called Magnum, and I have to look at the receipt and check it off, and I look at the receipt and it says Magnum. I was like, what the it's ice cream. Said this out loud.
So
the lady looked at me and she's like,
so and then it's Magnum ice cream. It goes down nice and smooth, but you get more than you pay for.
Not available in vanilla.
Oh,
and it leaves a really bad aftertaste.
All right. End of this week on a classy note with the dick joke. Anyway.
Cheers.
This has been Boldly Going Nowhere. You know who we are and you know why we do it.
Yep. Shall we film
it? Our microphones stay forever untouched by Superman's mind.
All right.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.